Now come to order. Members may indicate their presence by voting.
15 members present.
Senator Standees. Wait just one second. The roll call will also show Senator Ziegler, Senator Bradley, Senator Miller present.
Prayer by the chaplain, Reverend Dale Ford.
We find it to be a mixed blessing, Lord God, when Big Brother or Big Sister watches over our best interests in use of the environment and development of our resources. After all, kid sisters and kid brothers do grow up and can themselves be responsible individuals. Father, we look to you as the higher authority. In your wisdom, you scattered seeds throughout the earth, showering abundance on your people. Grant that we who gather what you have sown will share it with the same munificence and with equal wisdom. Amen.
Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as to correctness of the journal for the 122nd legislative day.
Senator Cortilla.
President, there are no additions or corrections. I move that unanimous consent the journal be approved as read.
Senator Cortilla moves and asks unanimous consent for the certification of the journal. Without objection, journal certified. Introduction of guests. Messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
Message of May 12. The House has passed Senate Bill Number 570 amended, holding a municipal office with the following amendment. House committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 570 amended House and transmitting it for your consideration.
Senator Cortilla.
Mr. President, I move the Senate concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 570.
Senator Cortilla moves that the Senate concur in the House amendment. Senator Cortilla, you have the floor.
Principal members tell me that is an acceptable amendment to the Senate. It has to do with the regional educational attendance areas and borough can opt out if it wishes to accepting municipal, or accepting those people in the school board that have now, are now working for the school for the duration of the term that they're now serving.
Further discussion? Do you ask unanimous consent? Senator Cortilla, do you ask unanimous consent?
President, I ask unanimous consent.
Senator Cortilla asks unanimous consent that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 570. Without objection, Senate concurs. Further messages from the House?
Message of May 12. The House has passed committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 644. Color of license placed with the following amendment. House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 644 amended House and transmitting for consideration.
Senator Cortilla.
Mr. President, I would move the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 644 and ask you to vote against.
Senator Cortilla moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 644. Is there discussion? Ready to vote? The question is, shall the Senate concur? Many as favor say aye. Many as oppose, no.
No.
Noes have it. Fail to concur, Secretary will send a message to the House asking them to recede. Free Commerce Committee will be appointed under unfinished business. Further messages from the House?
Message of May 12. The House has passed Senate Bill Number 492 relating to nurses with the following amendment. Page 1, line 12, strike is of. Line 13, strike good moral character. Line 26, strike is of good moral. Line 27, strike character. Page 2, line 5, delete all of Section 3. Add new Section 3. This act takes effect immediately in accordance with AS 01-10-070C. and transmitting Senate Bill 492, amended House, for your consideration.
Senator Katula.
Mr. President, I have moved the Senate concur in the House amendments. Mr. President, I have checked with the Director of Nursing and through a principal representative of nurses, and they're satisfied with the amendments. They do no damage to the bill. The second half of the amendment places back to the existing fee structure, but they're satisfied with the amendments, and I would recommend that and ask consent that the Senate then adopt.
Senator Katula moves and asks unanimous consent that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 492. Is there objection? Without objection, the Senate's concurred in the House amendment.
Messages of May 12th, the House has passed the following, transmitted for consideration. House Joint Resolution Number 76, amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, relating to proposed federal regulations regarding the Medicaid program.
Health, Education, and Social Services. Senate Standard 8. Senate come to order. Further messages from the House.
For House Bill Number 698 of the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to National Guard and Naval Militia retirement and death benefits and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 909 by the Finance Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Public Works for construction of a school at Anderson and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 893, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to general obligation bonds, bills, and capital improvements of the state and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 407, amended by the Rules Committee, an act requiring certification of water and wastewater operators and providing a program for the training of water and wastewater operators.
Health, Education, Social Services.
Excuse me.
Senator Ryder?
By the rules committee. By the rules committee.
That's by the House rules.
Oh, excuse me.
Further messages from the House.
Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 139 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, relating to the food stamp program.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
Sponsor substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 97 by Representative Sullivan, relating to state purchases of drugs.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
There are no other messages from the House.
Communications.
We have no communications this morning.
Reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution 106, taking of state-owned royalty oil or gas in kind and its disposal by sale. And a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Poland, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Rader, Croft, Rohde, signing no recommendation were Senators Buttrovich, Orsini, and Meeland. There's no further referral.
Rules.
Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill 14, relating to land classification, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, a Commerce Committee substitute, and that the Commerce Committee substitute do pass. The report is signed by Senator Curtula, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Coletta and Bradley. Senator Ziegler signed no recommendation. There's no further referral.
Rules.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 437, Special Appropriation to Division of Tourism, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Chance and Ferguson. Senators Buttrovich and Poland signed no recommendation. There's no further referral.
Rule.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill 527, relating to the efficient administration of fish and game, and the majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, and the committee substitute do pass. Report is signed by Senator Poland, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Meeland, Croft, Rader, Buttrovich, and Rohde. Senator Orsini signed no recommendation.
Senator Ray, Senate Standard 8.
Senate will come to order.
Rules.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered House Joint Resolution 67 relating to Medicare and hemophiliacs. The committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Coletta, Bradley, and Chance. There's no further referral. Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered House Joint Resolution 72 relating to the food stamp program, and the committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Coletta, Bradley, and Chance. There's no further referral.
Approve.
Finance Committee considered committee sub for, sponsor sub for House Bill 549, Finance. Bonds for cost of regional firefighter training centers. Reports back as follows. Senator Ray, Chairman. Excuse me, I think that's the majority report that the majority recommendation is due pass. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senators Chance and Ferguson signed due pass. Senators Butrovich and Poland had no recommendation. There's no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill 661, amended, Department of Administration Cost of Living Adjustments, and reports it back as follows. Senator Ferguson, Chairman, signed due pass if amended. Senators Chance, Bradley, and Coletta signed no recommendation. There's a further referral to Finance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered House Bill 788, Special Appropriation to Establish a Center for the Alaska Rural Training Corps. And the committee recommends it be replaced with a Senate committee substitute. Senator Ferguson, Chairman, signed due pass. Senators Chance, Bradley, and Coletta signed no recommendation. There's a further referral to Finance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered House Bill 859 relating to school terms. And a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a Senate committee substitute, and the Senate committee substitute do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Chance and Bradley. Senator Coletta signed no recommendation. There's no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill 861, amended, establishing the State Educational Incentive Grant Program. Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and Senator Coletta signed due pass if amended. Senators Chance and Bradley signed due pass. There's a further referral to Finance. The Finance Committee considered House Bill 863, Forest Protection, and the committee recommends replacement with a Senate committee substitute. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senators Sackett, Poland, and Rader signed no recommendation. Senators Butrovich, Ferguson, and Chance signed due pass. There is no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill 868, Finance, Special Appropriation to the Office of the Governor. And the committee recommends it be replaced with a Senate committee substitute, and the Senate committee substitute do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Chance, Coletta, and Bradley. There's a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports.
Report to Special Committee.
Have a free conference committee report dated May 13, Mr. President, Mr. Speaker. The conference committee with powers of free conference, which has had Senate Bill number 302, and House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 302, amended House, Possession of Weapons by Convicts, under consideration, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 302, same title, be adopted. Signing for the Senate are Senator Rohde, Chairman, Senator Willis, Senator Tillian, and House members, Representative Brown, Chairman, Representative Cotton, Representative Eliason.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate adopt the Free Conference Committee report for Senate Bill 302.
Senator Rohde moves adoption of the Free Conference Committee report. You have the floor.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 302 was a bill relating to possession of dangerous weapons. The language that was finally added by the Free Conference Committee to the Senate version, and the House added additional language, which we managed to retract, was that included in the list of weapons which were considered dangerous weapons was added the phrase for an instrument commonly considered to be a weapon. This was felt by the House to be important and to clarify. The House also added that the prohibition on a person convicted of a felony possessing a pistol or like instrument would recede after 10 years after the serving of a sentence for that felony.
Mr. Rohde has unanimous consent for the adoption of the Free Commerce Committee report. Is there objection? Without objection, the Commerce Committee report is adopted. Further reports of special committees?
I have no further special committee reports.
President. Senator Miller?
I would move and ask unanimous consent for the reconsideration on House Bill 522.
We have before us in third reading House Bill 522.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 522, Amended Senate, an act relating to the regulation of lobbying and providing for an effective date.
You got it wrong. Well, if you're Senate stand, please.
Terry? Senator, time to order.
Senator Miller?
The President, I move and ask unanimous consent House Bill 522 be returned to Senate Committee for consideration.
Senator Miller moved and asked unanimous consent that House Bill 522 be returned to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment. Without objection, we have before us in second reading House Bill 522.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 522, Amended Senate, an act relating to the regulation of lobbying and providing for an effective date.
Senator Miller.
I have an amendment.
Does every senator have a copy of the amendment by Senator Miller? It begins on page 3, line 6.
This
any
would
senator
be
that does not have a copy of that amendment?
This would be amendment number 5.
Does every senator now have a copy? Without objection, the reading of the amendment will be waived. Senator Miller.
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the amendment.
Senator Miller moves the adoption of amendment number 5. You have the floor.
Senator Miller. Mr. President, I would be prepared for evasion of the question, however you desire to approach. What in essence the amendment would do is would modify the bill to where it accomplished essentially four purposes. One, it would transfer the lobbying regulation function to the APOC. Two, it would be an umbrella administrative and executive agencies as well as the legislature under the lobbying activity regulation. Three, it would provide for reporting requirements with business transactions between public officials and lobbyists. And four, it provides for a more timely filing of those reports, as the existing law states they're filed at the end of the session and filed in them under broader categories. Under this bill, it would be filed a little more specifically, and it would be filed during regular reporting periods during the session. The measure, in essence, takes care of some of the language. For example, Senator Rader mentioned where no longer a photograph would be required or a letter from an employer. It would also strike out some ambiguous language regarding a statement that the lobbyist would have to make to the ABOC as to how long he would be employed or how long he expected to be employed in that particular function. It would change the $50 lid, which was in the Commerce Committee substitute to $100 for reporting with public officials, so that the Public Disclosure Act and the APOs and the Lobbyist Disclosure Act would conform. Otherwise, you get a situation where it can't be cross-tracked effectively if you have different thresholds. As an example, if a lobbyist declares a transaction or a gift to an official for in excess of $50, it's listed, but the official doesn't list it, because his threshold is $100 under the Act, you get a discrepancy, and he would immediately take the time of the commission trying to sort it out. If they're both $100 and then they both don't report, or one reports and the other doesn't, you have cause for investigation. You have an adequate opportunity here for cross-checking, as well as with the employer of the lobbyist and any business transactions he would do, because that would, one, show up that the employer is employing a lobbyist here, and it would show up in the public officer's disclosure because he has to list it if he has income or any transaction in excess of $100. It changes the language which talks about more than 50% interest that has to be disclosed if the lobbyist does business with a firm in which the public officer has more than a 50% interest. That language, once again, does not match the disclosure, Public Financial Disclosure Act that's on the books, and it would change it to a controlling interest, which is the law. It also would take one threshold down from $500 to $100, once again, to conform to what the Public Disclosure Act already requires. So you would get in trouble if you had one threshold being either higher or lower. In this case, it's higher. So it deletes in its entirety the civil penalty section and leaves it the same way the Public Disclosure Act is now for public officials, and that's criminal penalties. So no reason to treat the lobbying branch differently than to treat public officials. The rest of the language changes are purely technical and necessary to implement those changes I discussed.
Senator Tulloch.
Apologies for yesterday, Mr. President. I was quite ill and didn't expect really to carry it this much, or attempt to carry it, but it fell upon me to do so. I might say that in the philosophy of opposing forces, you have the synthesis between the two sides, and yesterday's vote tended to indicate that the majority being the negative side, would support or would not support as liberal a bill as we had before us. So this gives you a conservative position to go in free conference committee with versus the other position as represented by the original House bill. Probably draw something down the middle between the two positions if we accept the Miller amendments. Well, I'm not opposing the Miller amendments. I think, again, as I said yesterday, this is a matter of free conference committee.
Before you ask unanimous, I think there's a typographical.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. President. Yes, the chair pointed out to me that on the page 14, line 17 amendment of my amendment should say page 14, line 24.
So that after the word chapter, there would be a period, and the remainder of lines 24, 25, and 26 would be deleted. Senator Miller asked unanimous.
I say.
Sent for the adoption of the amendment. Senator Rader objects. Senator Rader, you have the floor.
Mr. President, I object also. I did not raise the question earlier, but I did not have a copy of the amendments. Would the senator object to holding this over for 30 minutes or maybe until after recess so I can converse with him about it before voting on it?
That's certainly not, Mr. President. That's fine.
Mr. President.
Senator Cotillo.
I move the bill be placed upon the calendar.
Senator Tulloch moves that the House Bill 522 and pending motions be placed at the bottom of today's calendar. Is there objection? That objection will appear at the bottom of today's calendar. Brings us back to introduction of resolutions.
Senate Resolution Number 6 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, relating to proposed federal regulations regarding the Medicaid program. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee report on this resolution accompanied it, and the majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Chance and Coletta. Senator Bradley signed, no recommendation.
Senator Chance.
Mr. President, I would move that we bring this up at this time as a matter of special order.
Senator Chance moves that Senate Resolution 6 be made a special order of business at this time. Senator Chance, you have the floor.
Mr. President, there's been a copy placed on everybody's desk, and the reason I would ask that we act on it today is that today is the deadline for submitting comments to the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare on the proposed regulations in Medicaid, or Medicaid, referring to skilled nursing and intermediate care facilities. And it was brought to our attention that those proposed regulations would make it virtually impossible to develop the skilled nursing home and intermediate care facilities in the state of Alaska, because of the restrictions and restraints, the minimum standards that are being proposed also end up being the ceiling for reimbursement and make it virtually impossible for the development in the private sector of skilled nursing homes and intermediate care.
You ask unanimous consent. Senator Chance moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Resolution Number 6 be made a special order of business at this time. Is there objection? That objection. We have before us Senate Resolution Number 6.
Senate Resolution Number 6 relating to proposed federal regulations regarding the Medicaid program.
Is there a Senator Cortula?
For the resolve clause be read.
Be it resolved that the Alaska State Senate respectfully requests the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, through the Acting Administrator, Social and Rehabilitation Service, not to adopt the proposed regulations which would require the state to, 1, set upper limits for the revaluation of assets transferred or sold, 2, recapture reimbursement for depreciation upon transfer or sale of an asset, 3, establish upper limits for certain costs based upon minimum standards, and 4, exclude from reimbursement those costs incurred by bad debts of non-program recipients, charity cases, and courtesy allowances.
Senator Cortula.
I wouldn't stand against this, although I wish to reflect that, you know, the city of New York has had some terrible problems, and this is one of the attempts, I think, made the person who was up in that area. Again, the urban and rural problems being different, perhaps the state of Alaska has to take exception.
Further discussion. You ready to vote? Quick, Senator Killian.
You know, the Medicaid problem's becoming a disaster here in this state. I think we're going to probably have to consider just dropping our participation, and now reach the point that we'd be better off to meet it out of our own general fund and not have to live up to all their regulations. We wouldn't spend as much money doing it ourselves as we will trying to comply with the federal. I can't see if this resolution does anything but ask us to go further down the primrose path to disaster.
Further discussion. You ready to vote? Question is, shall House Senate Resolution Number 6 pass the Senate? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
Many as opposed, no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, members may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
Roll call shows 14 yeas, 5 nays, 1 absent.
Senate Resolution Number 6 passed the Senate. Further introduction of resolution?
There are no further resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills?
We have none.
Bring us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Senator Cortula.
Well, I can only reflect on the last vote, Mr. President. Apparently, Mrs. Croft, Mrs. Cortula, and Mrs. Rader are entering into the roll call.
We have before us in second reading Senate Bill 654.
Senate Bill Number 654 by Senator Chance, an act relating to statewide coordination, development, and planning for the delivery of social services. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee had this bill under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Chance and Bradley. Senator Coletta signed no recommendation.
but it's not a while yet.
Senator, come to order. Senator Ziegler?
Mr. President, I give notice of my intention to reconsider my vote on the next legislative day on Senate Bill 654.
Senator Ziegler's notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 654 will be noted in the journal. We have before us in second reading Senate Bill 688.
Senate Bill number 688 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to fish hatcheries and providing for an effective date. The Commerce Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute and that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Petula, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Willis, Coletta, and Ziegler. The Resources Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that the Commerce Committee substitute do pass. The report was signed by Senator Poland, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Buttrevich, Croft, and Meeland. Senator Orsini signed, no recommendation. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Buttrevich, Sackett, Rader, Chance, Poland, and Ferguson. I have a Commerce Committee substitute.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the Commerce Committee substitute.
Senator Ray moves the adoption of the Senate Commerce Committee substitute. You have the floor, Senator Ray.
Senator, stand at ease.
Senator Ray?
Did we adopt the Commerce Committee substitute?
Let's start all over again. Senator Ray moves and asks unanimous consent for the adoption of the Senate Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 688. You have the floor.
I'm asking unanimous consent.
Is there objection?
It's a better bill.
Is there objection? Without objection. Senate Commerce Committee substitute is adopted. Secretary, I'll reread the bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 688 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to salmon hatcheries and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Petula?
President, absent of any amendments, I move to ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 688 considered gross and asked to be placed upon passage.
Senator Petula moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 688 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. We have before us in third reading Senate Bill 688.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 688, an act relating to salmon hatcheries and providing for an effective date.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, the intent of this act is to produce salmon for the common property, the fisheries of the state, and to do this, we're going to spend $11,900.
Question. Further discussion?
Question.
Ready to vote? Question is, shall Senate Bill 688 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
Yeas.
Senator Curtula?
President, I move national unanimous consent to vote on the bill to consider the effective date clause.
Senator Curtula moves national unanimous consent to vote on the bill to be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, Senate Bill 688 with an effective date clause passed the Senate. We have before us in second reading Senate Bill 689.
Senate Bill number 689 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to a fisheries enhancement loan program and providing for an effective date. The Commerce Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute and that it do pass. Senator Petula, Chairman, signed do pass with amendment, as did Senators Willis and Coletta. Senator Ziegler signed do pass with or without amendment. The Resources Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that the Commerce Committee substitute do pass, or recommends that it be replaced with the Commerce Committee substitute. Senator Poland, Chairman, and Senator Meeland signed do pass. Senators Buttrevich, Orsini, and Croft signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it be replaced with a Finance Committee substitute, and that the Finance Committee substitute be passed. The report was signed by Senator Ray Chairman and concurred in by Senators Buttrovich, Rader, Poland, and Ferguson. Senators Sackett and Chance signed no recommendation.
Senator Ray?
President, I would move for the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute.
Senator Ray moves for the adoption of the Senate Finance Committee substitute. You have the floor.
Well, basically what we've done is we've put some limitations on it. The amount that will be purchased shall not exceed $3 million for fiscal year 77 and $10 million for fiscal year 78. That's unanimous consent.
Senator Ray asks unanimous consent for the adoption of the Senate Finance Committee substitute. Is there objection? Without objection, Finance Committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 689, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to a fisheries enhancement loan program and providing for an effective date. I have no amendments.
Senator Curtillo?
Absence of any amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 689, considering growth of after being placed in final passage.
Senator Curtillo moves and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 689 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill 689.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 689, Finance, an act relating to a fisheries enhancement loan program and providing for an effective date.
Sir, discussion. Senator Orsini.
Mr. President, it seems like every time we turn around, we're establishing another loan program of some sort. The state has only a limited amount of dollars to put into loan programs. It seems to me that the more we create, the less dollars there are in each of them. My area of state, fisheries is not a, this kind of fisheries enhancement is not a very big thing, but something like the veterans loans for homes certainly is. I'm fair enough to vote against this.
Senator Cotilla?
I'd have to take strong exception. The Anchorage area is the sales and service units of the state, and it profits greatly by every bit of economic development that takes place in this state. As a matter of fact, it bleeds off most of the profits through either its banking district or through its provision of services and foods, et cetera, that go out into the rural communities. You're going to have something in this state. We're going to have something in this state when the oil is gone to support this state. We can't take in each other's laundry. And that's what this provision goes for. It's an investment eventually. And under the new amendments that are very judicious and very careful as applied by the House Committee substitute, under those amendments, there's not going to be anybody running huckabee buck and trading off, let's put some in Bristol Bay and let's put some out here where they shouldn't be and so on. It's a very well and very guarded program under the new amendment. And I think that you've got to take renewable resource monies from the non-renewable. You've got to develop the renewable for non-renewable. There isn't going to be anything here. It's just going to be a desert. Non-renewable resources are gone. This is an attempt to do that, an intelligent attempt to do that. I support the bill.
Further discussion, Senator Tillia?
I would hope that Senator Martini would reconsider. I'm not a great enthusiast of public support of fish hatcheries. I think they should be up for those to take care of the sports interest. But here, now, we have limited entry. We have the chance for fishermen to regulate themselves to a great extent. The Prince William Sound issue, for instance, where they're building their own fish hatchery is one that we should encourage, and I can think of no better way to help Alaskans than through loan programs instead of giveaway programs. As far as the veterans loan program, I was in the beginning of that one. I think it's an excellent one. We now have no, you know, though we have a shortage, it says very plainly that you shall issue the veterans loans. You know, it's the Commissioner of Revenue has to buy them. I think this is the way it should be. It's one of the reasons I support a permanent fund. I can think of no better way to use Alaska's resources than through loans to Alaska's people. And I support this program.
Senator Hoover?
Mr. President, in my 6 years in the legislature, it certainly isn't very long in measure with some of the other people's times here. This will be the first time that I have voted against the fisheries or fisheries enhancement measure. And it is as a matter of protest. I will continue, I will vote for, I will start voting for again when limited entry is repealed.
Right. Senator Poland?
Mr. President,
partially in reply to Senator Huber, if our fisheries had had help of this type, we possibly might not have needed limited entry. But I feel that this particular program is one of the most constructive loan programs we've ever had. We're investing in the fishermen and the fisheries of our state, and we will receive a great return besides just the money being paid back in the fish to come back to our fishermen, and that dollar rolls over many and many a time in tax dollars, in service dollars, and even the sportsmen will benefit from it also.
Senator Wright?
President, I'd just like to point out, in comparison with the veterans loan program, which I was a recipient, you only have to have 10% collateral, and in the fisheries program, you have to have at least 25%. So it is a much more stringent program. It requires collateral satisfactory as commissioner, including the not limited to first deed of trust, assignment of lease and leasehold improvement, sale of surplus, fixing the hatchery. It's protected all the way down the line. And I think it's a very worthwhile program and one that's going to get better as time goes on.
Senator Miller?
Mr. President, as one who represents a district with not a lot of commercial fishermen in it, I certainly support this bill because I think Senator Cortula hit it right on the head. We've got to take our non-renewable resource money and begin to rebuild our renewable resources, and this is a step in that direction.
Further discussion? Senator Wright?
Mr. President, this is really, if this bill works, it'll really be amazing. It'll be a tremendous public benefit. Remember, instead of us paying for a fishery, we're loaning 3/4 of the cost of a fishery, a fisherman. They're going to put up the other 25% and pay us back if the program works. You're not talking about the state buying a fish hatchery for the resource. You're talking about the loaning money to the fisherman to bring back the resource. If the thing works, it will absolutely be fantastic. The problem here is that we're too optimistic, perhaps, in thinking that it'll work. I'm not sure if the fishermen can put up 25% of the cost of a hatchery. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. They think that they can, some of them think that they can. Get funds from other sources and things of that nature. But really, if this thing would function as it's been proposed, it'd be absolutely the best buy the state ever had. Incidentally, there's been testimony given to the Finance Committee that the fishermen can build hatcheries in remote areas at a fraction of the cost the state can, as we go through our different procedures.
Senator Cortula?
Initial pilot project that intends to substantiate, there's probably $1 million will be the toll in there, with well over 25% contributed by local fishermen. Mr. President, as you know, British Columbia, and I understand the Soviet Union, some of the Western states, and Hokkaido, Japan, are now doing exactly what we want to do, and the chum fishery apparently is going to now go to Hokkaido, Japan. What, 30 million return this year from just this type of a program? Unbelievable. You have to be careful, you have to be judicious, and I think this bill does give you all the necessary caution.
Question. Okay, Senator Huber.
Mr. President, through the chair, I would like to apologize to my good friend, Senator from Kodiak. And most certainly, if I didn't feel today that this bill was going to pass, I would probably, if I was the deciding vote, I would be forced to change my vote. But Mr. President, it is a protest against limited entry. And I think that more and more it's going to surface. I hope that the public takes care of limited entry, holds this time, and I'll never see it obliged to move against the limited entry.
Senator Rader?
I want to take this opportunity to make one point that I think is real important. The only reason that fishermen would borrow money and put up 25% of the cost of a hatchery is because there is limited entry. If they didn't have limited entry, there would be no way a fisherman would put his name on a loan and put up 25% of the capital to build a fish hatchery and have the public come in 5 years later and catch the fish. The only way the program would work is if limited entry stays. And I think that Senator Huber, although he's not the deciding vote, should give some more consideration to the possibility that this is the only way that you're likely to get the people involved to rebuild this fishery. Otherwise, you're talking about the public and us appropriating $100 million over a period of time. I'm opposed to the dedicated fund process because I don't think it makes any sense. But this program and programs like this, I think, make tremendous sense.
Senator Huber, then Senator Orsini.
Mr. President, to the chair, I would like to answer my colleague from Anchorage's remarks. I would expect it to be that way. After all, the legal profession in this state has had limited entry for years. It's not democratic, but they got it.
Senator Arsenio?
Mr. President, I certainly agree with Senator Cotillo about the need to put our non-renewable resources money into renewable resources. I strongly support that. But a couple of points have been raised here in the discussion, I think, strike to the heart of my questions on this, one of which is the limited entry question. I think we do need limited entry in order to have this program work. I agree with Senator Reagan on that issue. The question is, now limited entry is a proposition on the ballot. The voters may strike down limited entry. I don't know. The other thing is, in fact, yes, with Senator Couture, I am aware that we have in the Prince William Sound, there is a hatchery going in. It is, as you said, in a prototype or a pilot situation. I think it might be a good idea to wait until that the effectiveness of that has been proved. We have the 200-mile limit, which will certainly enhance this kind of an approach to developing our fisheries. That 200-mile limit is also in a state of uncertainty, how long it will stay, whether we'll get some sort of a treaty with other nations or whatever. In general, we're in a very unsettled period of time here, and it seems to me that it may be premature to enact this kind of legislation at this time.
Further discussion? You ready to vote? The question is, shall Senate Bill 689 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Is every senator voted? The secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? The secretary will take the roll.
Yeas, 1 nay.
Senator Couture.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill to consider the vote effective date.
Senator Couture moves and ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill be considered to vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, Senate Bill 689, effective date clause, passed the Senate. Senator Miller, Senate stand at ease.
Mr. President, we were going to continue on the calendar through noon, but there are some free conference committees of importance that will be conducting noon meetings. So, Mr. President, although I asked for 522 and asked unanimous consent to be held over to the bottom of the calendar, I move you now that Senate Bill 522 come on at this time.
Unanimous consent that House Bill 522 be made a special order of business at this time without objection. We have before us in second reading House Bill 522.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 522, amended Senate, an act relating to the regulation of lobbying and providing for an effective date.
Senator Miller had moved the adoption of Amendment Number 5 with the change on page 14, line 17 should be line 24. There had been an objection to the adoption of the amendment. Senator Rader withdraws his objection. Is there further objection?
I did have an objection. I wish to continue to register for a vote.
Senator Cotillo does maintain his objection. Is there further discussion? You ready to vote? Question is, shall Amendment Number 5 be adopted? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
Many as opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it. Number 5 is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Senator Cotillo.
Mr. President, absence of further amendments, move and ask unanimous consent to House Bill 522 and be considered gross. Pass third reading, place file passage.
Senator Cotillo moves and ask unanimous consent. House Bill 522 be advanced from second to third reading, place for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 522.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 522, amended Senate, an act relating to the regulation of lobbying and providing for an effective date.
Discussion.
Question.
You ready to vote? The question is, shall House Bill 522 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
Yeas, 6 nays.
Senator Cotillo.
President, I move it. Will the bill consider both effective date and House unanimous consent?
Senator Petrullo moves and House unanimous consent the adoption of the effective date clause. Without objection, then, House Bill 522, with an effective date clause, passes the Senate. Senator Petrullo?
President, I move that we recess till 1:15 sharp.
Senator Petrullo moves and House unanimous consent the Senate stand in recess till 1:15 this afternoon. Without objection, recess. Senator, come to order. We have before us in second reading. We have before us in second reading House Bill 659.
House Bill number 659 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the Alaska National Guard and Alaska Naval Militia Reenlistment Bonus. The State Affairs Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Huber, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Meland, Puletta, and Ferguson. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Butrovich, Rader, Ferguson, Sackett, Chance, and Poland. I have no amendments.
Senator Petrullo?
Captain Samani, amendments, and will National Assembly consent to House Bill 659, considering growth, advance, third reading, place upon time.
Senator Petrullo moves and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 659 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 659.
House Bill 659, an act relating to the Alaska National Guard and Alaska Naval Militia Reenlistment Bonus.
Senator Ray?
Question. Mr. President, just a loan on this bill. Adds the one following our accommodation, and it comes to $86,000.
Question. Further discussion? Ready to vote? The question is, shall House Bill 659 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
Yeas, 1 absent.
So House Bill 659 passed the Senate. We have before us in second reading House Bill 663.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 663 by the Finance Committee. An act relating to Alaska National Guard and Alaska Naval Militia Educational Assistance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute and that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Bradley and Chance. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that the HESS Senate Committee substitute do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Butrovich, Ferguson, Poland, Sackett, Rader, and Chance. There's a Health, Education, and Social Services Senate Committee substitute.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the HESS Committee Senate substitute for
Senator Ray moves unanimous consent for the adoption of the Senate Health, Education, and Social Services Committee substitute. Is there objection? Without objection, committee substitute is adopted.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill number 663, an act relating to the Alaska National Guard and Alaska Naval Militia and providing for an effective date.
Is there any amendments?
There are no
Senator
amendments.
Miller?
Inquiry for purposes of possible amendment to perhaps Senator Ray or Senator Ferguson. I was just wondering why the language of for enlisted personnel was added, which would exclude from the educational benefits section the commissioned officer. I understand why they're not under the reenlistment bonus program because they're by indefinite employment and do not enlist, but perhaps an explanation as to why they're kind of under.
Senator Ferguson?
Mr. President, my understanding is that
there isn't sufficient funds to allow for everyone, it was thought that the most personnel should have first crack at this, and if there is more money, this could be changed.
Question. Mr. Senator Bradley?
Mr. President, they have other arrangements for officers of school.
Senator Miller?
No, I don't believe they do, Senator Bradley. Not the reserve force in the dark, I'm not aware of it.
For a different school.
Senator Bradley?
Manager on staff, college, and war college, and this sort of thing, and have an extension course at Elmendorf for the Air War College, which costs nothing.
Senator Miller?
Mr. President, I withdraw my objection, but this is, as my understanding, to get private education has nothing to do with military.
Right.
But I withdraw my objection.
Senator Cotulla?
Mr. President, of course, longtime shop sergeant, get more than second lieutenant in these situations, I don't see why we should discriminate against them. The young officer corps either. I'll support the bill, but I still think, you know, it's just slightly discriminatory.
Senator Ray?
Well, it isn't discriminatory. It is in that point, and it's also discriminatory toward the female members by calling them females down here further on. And there's some way I would like to be able to eliminate female, but I couldn't figure out what the proper adjective was,
so we had to leave female in there. And so I apologize to all the gay liberation
people and all the lady liberation people.
Question.
There
isn't any questions. I was wondering if somebody would like to advance the bill from second to third reading. Senator Kerr. Before the advancement motion? Senator Orsini?
I do have a question, Mr. President. I wonder if someone could explain the phrase on line 18 there on page 1, notwithstanding the reference to mandatory military service.
Senator Ray.
That was the reference point, Mr. President, that I had. There is a mandatory military service for Department of Prison females, although there are for males. So it says, notwithstanding the reference to mandatory military service requirements, which there are none of the females, each active and illicit female member is fully eligible.
We'd be at ease.
Senate stand at ease. Senate will come to order. Secretary will read amendment number 1.
Amendment number 1 by Senator Huber, page 1, line 19, I move the word enlist.
Senator Huber.
I move the
amendment. Senator Huber moves the adoption of amendment number 1. You have the floor.
Mr. President, it occurs to me that maybe the word enlisted, even though Senator Miller withdrew his objections, that the word enlisted is too restrictive here. And I might remind the body that in military service, all nurses are officer personnel. And I think that we just need to be this restrictive. I'd ask unanimous consent.
Senator Huber asked unanimous consent for his objections, Senator Ray.
You know, it's all very, very nice to do this thing for everybody, but when you do that, you're changing the entire fiscal impact. You're going against the request of the governor, who has been in direct conference at the request of the commander of the National Guard to change this bill, and it's the commandant of the National Guard, the adjutant general, whatever he is, Krasin. This is his bill, and this is what the Guard wants. Are we going to sit here and change from what the Guard wants? If that's the case, then I think we're going to have to go back and take another look at it and see how much money, and maybe we can't afford it at all.
Senator Miller?
The President's also, I've been advised that there is, on page 2, line 8, a tuition assistance program which is available to officers in the Guard. So what this is an additional supplemental program available to enlisted personnel. As a practical matter, generally officers make a great deal more money and have other privileges accorded them than enlisted men. And at this time, I think Senator Ferguson raised arguments a better part about.
Senator Bradley?
Mr. President, I was going to add about that. And also, what Senator Ray just had to say is absolutely correct. I got a call several days ago saying we like the bill exactly as written. And I think they probably should know.
Further discussion? Senator Huber?
Mr. President, looking at the original bill, House Bill 663, my learned colleague from you know, what he says to us about not being in line with the guard's request. I can't see that in the original bill. And in the, we're talking about changing language that's been added to the bill. They didn't mention that at all in the original bill, so the argument doesn't stack up with the facts.
Senator Ryan?
Well, the argument does stack up with the facts. I'm sorry that my friend from Fairbanks was not privy to the conversation between Adjutant General McCraskin and myself, which took place 3 days ago, at one time, 4 days ago, 5 days ago, 3 days in a row, in which he assures me each time that the Senate Committee substitute for Hospital Number 663, as we have here, was the one in which the guard backed and was the one they wanted, over and above the original bill. Senator Bradley has told you again, and I think he has possibly probably had the same phone call that I have. So all I can do is report, I'm sorry that I was privy to the information and I didn't share with you previously, but now I'm sharing it with you and the rest of the floor.
Senator Hoover?
Mr. President, I apologize to the body and to the learned colleague Juno. I only have no way of knowing what's printed on what I actually am voting on rather than what the voice word is.
Senator Chan.
Just want to add that it was the National Guard, the military affairs, appeared before the HES committee and asked that we in fact add the expand on the bill. And this, the first portion of the bill is what the National Guard brought to us and asked us to add on to the original bill, which had also been their original request, so that they would be able to take care of the enlisted men, the female members, and the officers. And so this is what the National Guard came in and asked for.
Question. Further discussion. You're ready to vote. The question is, shall amendment number one be adopted? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
As many as oppose, no.
No.
Noes have it. Failed to adopt amendment number one. Are there further amendments? Senator Curtillo.
President, I move to ask the answer to send consent to committee substitute for Hospital 663 be considered gross, advanced third reading, placed upon passage.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 663 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you in final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 663.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 663, an act relating to the Alaska National Guard and Alaska Naval Militia, and providing for an effective date.
Is there a discussion?
Question
is, shall House Bill 663 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted, secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
Yeas.
So, Senator Curtillo?
Senator Curtillo
moves and asks unanimous consent to vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, House Bill 663 is an effective date clause. Passes the Senate. We have before us in second reading House Bill 687. Senator Miller?
I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 687 be moved to the bottom of the calendar.
Senator Miller moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 687 be placed at the bottom of the calendar. Is there objection? Without objection? Without objection, it will appear at the bottom of today's calendar. We have before us in second reading, House Bill 694.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 694 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Criminal Law Revision Commission and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute and that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ziegler, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Miller and Meeland. Finance Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it be replaced with the Finance Committee substitute and reports it back as follows. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senators Butrovich, Sackett, Rader, Ferguson, and Poland signed no recommendation. Senator Chance signed. Do pass Senate Finance Committee substitute.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I would move for the adoption of the Senate Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 624.
Senator Ray moves and asks unanimous consent that the Senate Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 694 be adopted. Is there objection? Without objection, Finance Committee substitute is adopted.
Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill number 694, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act creating a code revision commission and providing for an effective date.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, House Bill 694, the Finance Committee version, adds to the House priority of a criminal code revision, an overall code revision agency of the Alaska Code Commission. Alaska is one of the few states that does not have a statutory revision procedure, and it has been a problem with the one that the legislature has thought about with some period of time, as everybody's aware. By accident, we wiped out our probate code at one time. Things like this wouldn't prevent if we had a central agency to examine the code. I'll be more than happy to go into the specifics of the code revision, but I think most people are familiar with it.
Questions? Are there any amendments?
There are no amendments.
Senate Committee substitute being adopted, Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent. Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 694 be considered in growth, advanced or being placed upon passage.
Senator Tillman moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 694 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 694.
Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill number 694, Finance, an act creating a code revision commission and providing for an effective date.
Through discussion.
Question.
You ready to vote? The question is, shall House Bill 694 pass the Senate? Senator Murphy, proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary, I'll lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary, I'll take the roll.
Yeas, 3 nays, 1 absent.
Senator Couture?
President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered vote on the effective date clause.
Senator Couture moves and asks unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, House Bill 694, an effective date clause, pass the Senate. Have before us second reading House Bill 924.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 924 by the Finance Committee, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Administration for salary increases for tri-trades members and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Butrovich, Sackett, Ferguson, Chance, and Poland. There are no amendments.
Senator Curtillo?
President, absence of any amendments, I move to ask unanimous consent to House Bill 924 be considered in gross, advanced third reading. Place final passage.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 924 be advanced from second to third reading. Place for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 924.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 924, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Administration for salary increases for tri-trades members and providing for an effective date.
Through discussion, you're ready to vote. The question is, shall House Bill 924 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. The secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary, I'll take the roll.
Senate 18 yeas, 1 nay, 1 absent.
Senator Cotillo?
President, I move to ask unanimous consent of the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Senator Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, House Bill 924, an effective date clause, is passed the Senate. We have before us in second reading House Bill 925.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 925 by the Finance Committee. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Administration for salary increases for supervisors and confidential employees and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ray Chairman and concurred in by Senators Buttrovich, Sackett, Rader, Ferguson, Chance, and Poland. There are no amendments.
Senator Cotillo?
Absence of any amendments, I move to ask unanimous consent. House Bill 925 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, placed final passage.
Senator Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 925 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 925.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 925, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Administration for salary increases for supervisors and confidential employees and providing for an effective date.
Further discussion. Senator Orsini.
Well, Mr. President, the reason I voted for against the last bill and I will vote against this bill is that it seems to me we're bypassing the budgetary process. We're saying within a fiscal year, any raise that wants to be negotiated will be funded. I think that's the wrong approach to take.
Mr. President. Senator Cotillo?
No, we're not. People know full well what they're voting for. They're voting now to implement the negotiation. They can vote against it like Senator Orsini did. That's your privilege. If it was automatic, then it wouldn't be your privilege.
Further discussion, Senator Ray?
On this Collective Bargaining Act, I think that this is the only thing that we can do is either appropriate the money or not, depending on whether we want to honor the legal contract that we have made with the, in this case, the confidential employees and the supervisors through the collective bargaining with the administration.
Senator Orsini?
President, there is another alternative open to us. We could say to the department, departments in this case, we gave you the money to operate the department for this fiscal year. That's it. If you negotiate a wage increase, that means there's a service decrease. We keep it in our budget.
Further discussion? Senator Ray?
I'd be more than happy to do that if we start with the Yankees area.
Senator Orsini?
That's fine, Mr. President, as long as we don't start and end with the Yankees area.
Further discussion? You ready to vote? Question is, shall House Bill 925 pass the Senate? Senators, are please vote. Every senator voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
Yeas, 1 nay.
Senator Cotillo.
Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Senator Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent that a vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, House Bill 925 and the effective date clause passed the Senate. We have before us in second reading Senate Joint Resolution 55.
Senate Joint Resolution number 55 amended, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to measures submitted by the legislature to the voters. Amendment number 4 is pending.
Senator Huber?
I would ask unanimous consent for Senator Ray's amendment 4.
Senator Huber moves and asks unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 4. Is there objection?
Objection.
Senator Chance objects.
Rehear the amendment.
I think every senator has a copy. Senator Stanley. You don't have a copy. That'll come to order. Senator Chan.
Oh, it's on my objection.
Senator Huber moves and asks unanimous consent that amendment number 4 be adopted. There's Pence removes her objection. Senator Orsini objects.
I still don't have the amendment.
Secretary, I'll read the amendment.
Amendment number 4 by Senators Croft and Ray. Page 1, line 14. After the word submit, insert as a referendum. Line 16, delete the word submitted and insert referred. Same for line 26. Line 28, after the word referred, delete, or an act or resolution submitted, and insert by petition or an act or resolution referred by the legislature. Page 2, line 4, delete the word submitted, insert referred by the legislature. Line 8, delete submitted, insert referred.
Senator Chapman?
I apologize for causing that delay while ago. I should have opened my journal to page 1148 and I would have seen them. That would have refreshed my memory.
Senator Miller?
I remove Senator King.
Further discussion? Senator Orsini, do you maintain your objection?
Question.
Senator Orsini enthusiastically withdraws his objection. Is there further objection? Without objection, then, number 4 is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Senator Cotulla.
Absence of further amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent to Senate joint resolution 55 to be considered and drove advanced third reading, place and final passage.
Senator Cotulla moves and ask unanimous consent that Senate joint resolution number 55 be advanced from second to third reading, place for you on final passage. Have before us in third reading, Senate Joint Resolution number 55.
Senate Joint Resolution number 55 amended by the State Affairs Committee proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to measures submitted by the legislature to the voters.
Senator Huber.
I would urge that we pass what's left of the resolution. Question.
Further discussion. Right. Ready to vote. The question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution number 55 pass the Senate? Senator, may I proceed to vote? Every senator voted. Secretary, lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary, I'll take the roll.
Yeas, 2 nays.
The Senate Joint Resolution number 55 passed the Senate. We have before us in second reading Senate Joint Resolution 45.
Senate Joint Resolution number 45 by Senator Miller proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to disposal or lease of state land or interest therein. The Resources Committee had this bill, this resolution under consideration and reports it back as follows. Senator Poland, Chairman, and Senators Butrovich, Croft, and Rohde signed do pass. Senators Rader and Mielen signed no recommendation. Senator Orsini signed do not pass without more amendment. I have no amendments. Oh, I have an amendment. Amendment number 1 by Senator Orsini. Line 15, delete require, insert allow. Line 16, delete approved, insert disapproval. Approval, insert disapproval.
Senator Orsini.
Mr. President, I move the amendment.
Senator Orsini moves the adoption of amendment number 1. You have the floor.
Mr. President, probably the best example of what we're doing here is the Cook Inlet land trade. Initially, the governor charged us with allowing or giving us time to review the trade and if we so desired, to register disapproval. We later changed this to a charge requiring us to approve before the trade took effect. I agree with what the basic concern is namely that very large transactions of state land or interest therein may take place without the legislature being afforded the opportunity to have a voice in that, that exchange or sale. This has happened several times in the past administrations. However, I think we may be going too far into getting the legislature into the functions that probably belong to the executive branch, and that's the reason for my question.
Mr. President.
Senator Cotillo.
As far as I'm concerned, I was raised in this country, and my family's been raised here. And I just think that it's a responsibility of all of us, and as a representative of the people, to make up our mind what we're going to do with permanent investments. That's what the land of this state is. If we can go for a capital program for the voters, we better at least tell the legislature to dispose of what is our birthright.
Senator Stanley.